a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. Alone and afraid. Many people are afraid to be left alone. It is not that they think someone might rob them or shoot them. It is not danger they fear. It is just being alone. When the night comes on or the wind steps up its pace, and especially when God's lightning flashes, they just cannot stand being alone. The solitary confinement of their own presence haunts them, and a horrible dread and fear grip them. Why is this? It is only dodging the issue to say they are nervous, or to send them to a psychiatrist. There is a deeper cause. In God's word to us, the Bible, you will always find a person in just the fix you are in, and from such you can learn both the cause and the cure of your perplexity. I firmly believe that no man will ever be in any position that is not described in the Bible, whether he be in a prison, a barracks, or even a den of lions. Neighbor, read your Bible. You need it. Why flounder along in your own bewilderment, spending all your living on doctors or trying out the religions or philosophies of earth? Go to your Bible, God, the living God of heaven. He made you, he knows you, and he has an unfailing remedy for your need. But where is our Bible character for this strange situation of fear and dread of being alone? In Genesis chapter 32, we read, "And Jacob was left alone. It was night. He was alone in the field. Nothing was there to hurt him. And yet, if you could have seen that man, you would have described him just as the Bible does. Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed." Now, Jacob was a strong man in the prime of his life. And yet, when he had to stand alone, he trembled in fear. Jacob was also a shrewd schemer. He could beat anyone in a trade. Like Jacob, you may be young and strong and able to outtalk your fellow man, but when left alone, the voice of a guilty conscience lashes you. It becomes just awful to be alone. The silence is more fearful than roaring cannons. Real Christians like to be alone. They go alone to their closet of prayer and walk alone in the field to commune with their God. What made Jacob so afraid? If his loved wife Rachel had said, "Jacob, what is the matter with you? You've always been a good husband to me and father to our children," Jacob could have only thought, "Rachel, you don't know me and my past life." Man may try to forget his past life, but it will come up. Jacob had gone far from home, but his past followed him. And you may roam across the nation, but your past will be on your heels. You may try to bury it, but up it will sprout. You may deny it, but lies cannot undo it any more than burning the bill will settle the account. God requireth that which is past. Oh, how true. Jacob's distress was intensified by the news that his brother Esau was coming to meet him, and he had 400 men. He knew Esau was determined to get square with him for what he had done to him. Jacob's guilt, he could hide no longer. The showdown was just ahead. He could not flee from Esau. That swift hunter would run him down. He could not resist Esau's army of 400 men. What would he do? Neighbor, is not this a clear picture of yourself? You are guilty of sins against God, and now God is about to lay hold of you in judgment which you deserve. Your friends have flattered you, but they do not know your past, but God does. What will you do? You cannot flee from the living God. What a grave to hold you, or mountains to cover you. Still, God would summon you to his judgment. You are hopeless, for you cannot resist the Almighty God. Jacob first puts on a big front and sends his servants to tell Esau how rich he is. What a sham. You may bluff your neighbor by acting big shot, yet all hypocrisy withers in God's presence. Then Jacob tries to dodge by dividing his family in two, but this fails, for the message was, Esau cometh to meet thee, and he wouldn't stop till he laid hold on Jacob. The devil is offering people all kinds of schemes to try and dodge the righteous judgment of a sin-hating God. He got Pilate to wash his hands in water, and maybe he had gotten you to try and wash your sins away at a baptismal pool, but all schemes fail. The sin and guilt, the fear and dread remain, and well, you know it, don't you? And then Jacob prays. He puts up such a fine prayer as he tells God of his pious father and grandfather and asks God to bless his scheme. But his prayer only leaves him trembling as he ends it crying, I fear him. You too may say your prayers, but you cannot pray off your sins, and you cannot hide behind godly parents. That only makes you the more inexcusable for choosing the paths of sin. And now Jacob says, I've got it. I'll send him some presents, and I will appease him with presents. So, one after another, he sends five big presents to Esau, but they did no good, and Jacob's distress remained. You two have tried the same as you gave money to religious and charitable causes. Religion is making a racket of selling people in the form of religious rituals, that which is just like the indulgences to sin of the Dark Ages. Religion is turning the house of prayer into dens of thieves. Neighbor, you can't pay off your sins. Listen to God's word. There is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. God will have none of your hush money. Now hear me good. I'm going to give you some plain truth. Listen, it would be wiser to burn $100 bill than to offer it as a bribe to a just judge on earth, right? That's right. And you had better burn up a suitcase of money than to try and pay off God for your sins, or to try with it to buy a seat in heaven. You are insulting God. You are impeaching his righteous integrity and only adding to your many sins. I have given my all to God and his cause, and this is right for every Christian to do. God is pleased when it is given because we love the Lord Jesus and love his gospel. But when offered to God as some peace offering to appease God for sin, it angers God and still leaves you with your fear and dread. And then the dark night settles down on Jacob, and we read, and Jacob was left alone. Everything had failed him. He was at his wit's end. But that is where God takes over. When we come to the end of our rope, and we are still suspended in midair, many of you are saying, preacher, tell me more, for that's where I am right now. My rope is out, and I'm dangling in midair. What happened to poor Jacob? Suddenly, a stranger draws near. Who is he? Jacob doesn't know, so he grabs him to wrestle with him. Around and around they go, as Jacob puts up a big fight. Then the stranger, with one finger, touches Jacob, and he's helpless. His struggling ends. Jacob, now with the grip of a drowning man, clings to this heavenly visitor, his Savior. Yes, he now lays hold of him as his only hope, and Jacob is blessed and changed in an instant. He's a new man with a new name and a new character. He enters a new day as the dark night passes and the sun rises in its brightness. The old coward Jacob now goes forth with the courage and boldness of a Joshua. Now comes the big question. Who was that visitor who did all that for Jacob? Jacob said, I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And that one was a man, a real man, that Jacob could wrestle. God and man in one person. Who could that be? Only one person. No angel or mere man, but our Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, very God, and who is man, very man. From heaven he came down to save, change, and bless that poor sinner Jacob. He did it all for Jacob, and he did it all for me too. The New Testament tells us more, as it says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He saw us in hopeless despair, and he came down from heaven to save us. He became man to be our Redeemer. He suffered and bled and died for our sins on Calvary's cross so as to be our Savior. He paid it all and did it all so as to fully meet our deep need. And then he arose out of death and went back into heaven. How? As a man, a real man, with his body of flesh, and in that body, as a real man, he is now on the highest throne in heaven. He wears our very nature on the throne. Hallelujah. The Bible says there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. For 1900 years, sinners who have come to the end of their ropes have done what Jacob did that night. They have let go all else, their schemes, their prayers, their bribes, and have laid hold of the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Peter did as he was sinking and cried, Lord, save me. The dying thief did as his rope ran out and he cried, Lord, remember me. And you may right now, neighbor, I plead with you, let go of all else as worthless and lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Cease your wrestling, resisting him, but surrendering to him as your conqueror, your master, your king, your Lord. I hope I made it plain. I repeat, let go of all else and lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ to trust him to be your Savior and to surrender to him to be your Lord for you to obey him. Neighbor, when you do that, I know, for I've experienced this, your sins and guilt will go. You won't be afraid to be alone, nor will you tremble in the dread of death. For you will have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be a new person, like Jacob, who became an Israel. A new person with a new name, no longer sinner, but now a Christian. And with a God-given courage, you will go forth to meet the adversities of life as more than a conqueror, and all through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, neighbor, let go of all else and lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting him alone as your Savior and surrendering to him as your Lord. Cling to him. He will not fail you, neither in life nor in death nor in eternity, for Jesus never fails. Read that 32nd chapter of Genesis, and let me tell you something. Jacob had a person-to-person experience with a living Lord that night, and he was changed. And just as certainly, you and I must have a personal experience with the Lord Jesus, or else, as our judge, he will consign us to the eternal flame, saying, depart from me, I never knew you. You never came to me to save you. And what will you say? Oh, neighbor, lay hold of the Lord Jesus with your hand of faith as you cling to him to save you. And when you do, his strong hand will lay hold of you, and no one will ever be able to pluck you out of his hand. You will be safe forevermore. And you and I will one day praise our Savior Jesus Christ forever in our heavenly home. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.
Just as I am without you.